You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our number is 564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com to listen to past programs and find real estate information. You can call me after the program at 452-CHAT, 452-2428.
Welcome back. Jaron Piltz is the producer. Today's guest is Dan Lenz, L-E-N-Z, from Lenz Pest Control out of Santa Barbara, California. And I'm Mark Schneidman, and my client's realtor. So just before the break, we were talking about a client of mine, a friend of mine, who hired Dan a year ago with for subterranean termites. And he has a raised foundation and subarea. And I see a lot of homes that have suffered from moisture problems. And, you know, the old adage is always try to keep your house dry. You want good gutters and downspouts. You don't want water pooling at the foundation. You want good slope away from the foundation. You don't want water pooling. And another device that's been used, and we've talked about this with Adam Simmons, a geologist, hydrologist, is a French drain. It's kind of this perimeter protection that goes around the house. And we were talking about this during the break. And Dan, what was your response about the French drain? And, you know, this is not to say that people shouldn't put in French drains, but...
Actually, just recently out in Isla Vista, we're doing some remediation for Poria out there, and they just put a French drain in, and we actually saw the rhizomorphs growing out of the French drain. But that house also had some other conditions that helped contribute to the Poria, but the French drain was involved.
It was involved. But in all fairness, more than likely, the Poria was there prior to the French drain.
I think the Poria was there, and the French drain became a good place to get moisture from.
I mean, if you had a house, your own house, or a client, and they had a home that might be situated lower than the surrounding properties, you know, maybe not a big hillside home, but just lower, French drains, that's where they're used. So as the subterranean water is progressing towards the low ground, it's going right through your house. It might pool a little under your subarea. So the French drain is basically a perimeter drain, a perimeter barrier to kind of grab that water and just keep your house dry, right? I mean, is that a rough?
Yeah.
Would you say if you can afford it, put one in? You might as well try to keep your house as dry as possible.
If you need one, you should have one in. But also, you need to think of some other things that will stop Poria. If you put in a French drain and you've got stucco that goes into the ground, then I recommend that the bottom of the stucco be cut off and a weep screed be put along the bottom. That's a metal flashing that actually will raise the stucco up above the ground level. This does a couple different things. It would stop moisture from being pulled up inside the stucco. It won't allow subterranean termites or poria to sneak into your house from under the stucco or from under, if you've got wood that extends into the ground, you also need to cut the wood up or regrade because you don't want anything in direct contact where the poria or subterranean termites or any other problem can originate from.
And you call this a flashing, you called it a sweep?
A weep screed.
Screed?
Yes.
Never heard that.
And more modern homes will have this. Older homes built in the 50s and 60s and usually do not. But lately, architects think that it's a beautiful design to run the stucco back into the ground again. So new houses aren't immune from these problems. And
Now, this is visible. You would see the stucco end, well, kind of like we're looking at the wall of this studio where they have a little floor molding. I mean, is it that evident?
Yeah.
Or is it?
Unless you're really looking for it, you probably can't tell the difference. But by having that particular thing, it's going to eliminate a lot of future problems, and most people don't think about it. So I'd say probably half of the Poria jobs that we've ever remediated involved stucco or siding that went into the ground.
Okay, well, that's experience. Now, what other preventative maintenance can you do? First of all, water. You want to keep water away from the house.
Well, as an example, you need to always keep a dry subarea or if you're on a concrete slab, you need to make sure that your grade levels are proper in relationship to the height of the house. So those are things that could be looked at by the homeowner. If the homeowner doesn't feel comfortable with that, they can always get a termite inspection or have a home inspector look at it. But basically, if you set the conditions for your home up properly, you're not going to have as many problems. If you kind of ignore everything, then, you know, and you like the landscape and you keep filling up more dirt and it keeps real wet, then you're going to have problems.
You get those planters. And it doesn't have to be Poria. You could just get other problems. If we can do just a shameless plug, it's really, I think, the best value in town to get a pest inspection. You can actually get Dan Lenz to put on a coveralls and crawl under your house and crawl in the attic and have to do all this ugly stuff and all the cobwebs. And for like the standard one's $125, or if they pay at the time of the inspection, it's $400. $100.
It goes by the size of the home, but if you have 3,000 square feet or less, it's usually $125 you pay at the time of the inspection, and we even reduce it down to $100. But recently, I found under a house Poria, and it was just a standard termite inspection, and there it was. And it's one of those unfortunate things. You come out of the sub area and you talk to the homeowner, and next thing you know, nobody's smiling. It's not a happy time, because it's kind of like a Poria is a lot like having cancer. It's cancer in the home. And so you got to really get rid of everything it's touched, been in. You've got to eliminate the rhizomorphs. You got to do some future things. Maybe get inspections done on a more regular basis to make sure nothing's coming back. It's a serious problem.
And the way insurance companies have been shying away generally from mold liability and really putting a real small cap.
Yeah, well, this is right into most insurance policies, that they won't cover fungus, dry rot, or Poria incrusata fungus.
They put it right in there.
Well, many years ago, I was hired by Fireman's Fund. They still covered Poria at that point, and they sent me around to many different homes, and I'd have to go out and look at it and figure out how to remediate it, and they were covering it on insurance at that point. So,
wow. Of course, they've since gone bankrupt.
Just about everybody has excluded it that knows about it.
Now, this home, so you were recently called out just for a standard pre-sale pest inspection that most sellers, if they're on the ball.
I'm not even sure it was going to be a sale. They were just doing a maintenance check. And so I went and did my standard inspection. But in the middle of it, in the sub area, there it was. So it was.
Do you have, I think it started to snow. Do you have any, do you hear that? Do you have any, an estimate of what you did find? In terms of, I mean, like what's going to cost? What are they going to do?
This particular problem is going to involve removing some of the flooring and some of the walls on the interior of the house. And I would guess they're looking probably towards $100,000.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is an old house, and it's pretty well maintained. It's beautiful. It's over by the Mission area. And you just never know.
And what's the exact address? No, I'm just kidding. So now the neighbors find out. So now you're worried, like they want to just you'll be ostracized from the neighborhood because.
Well, we've worked in that neighborhood. That's the one I told you across the street 10 years before. We'd worked on another house there, but I see it on concrete slab houses. We see it on raised foundations. The most important part is that it be detected and be eliminated.
You know, I wanted to get back to this. I was reading this one part, and it's of the when I Googled Poria incrusata, and it says that when removal, you have to go obviously well beyond the visible growth if you're cutting out wood, which I remember you dealing just with normal dry rot. You cut the wood.
Well,
usually
a couple feet on Poria is because you don't know how many cells have been penetrated with the spores, and what you don't want to have happen later is any type of moisture condition, let it come alive. And we've seen that before when the root system was eliminated and it got rebuilt. There was a little pinhole leak and with a copper pipe.
Right.
And they lost two walls of their house because of it.
Do we have that Gene Wilder from Frankenstein where he screams out, It's alive. Okay. The thing that this came with was this decaying wood, and it said that once established, it can decay wood with metabolic water as the sole source of moisture. And I looked up metabolic, and I was trying to figure out what the hell that actually means. But I'm almost drawing the conclusion that it can be self-sustaining. Like even if you cut it all off, it's somehow.
Well, the root system. If we've actually cut the root system, and it'll bleed, just like if you cut your arm, and it drains out this really weird looking stuff that it had been pushing the water back up and growing this plant. So, once you cut the root system, if it still has moisture in the air, it can still grow. Heat is one of the things that will slow this down a lot. But nothing is going to substitute from the actual removal. And you cannot treat this with normal fungicides.
Or copper?
Copper napathate, copper green, whatever you want to call it. It kind of makes it angry, and it grows right over the top. And and refuting some of the articles on Google or wherever, a lot of them say that pressure-treated wood is going to resist and not allow poria to get it. I took out a 4x4 underneath the house the other day of the one that we were speaking about. That was a pressure-treated piece of 4x4 that was gone. So, and don't forget, pressure-treated wood is with a copper or zinc. It's a metal-based fungicide. The only thing it really works is a borate, which is a material that we use called Timbor, which is a form of boric acid, really. And it will work to help stop the surrounding areas. It's not in lieu of actually doing the repair. You got to do the removal, but you can treat concrete it's been on. You can treat other things to stop the spores from growing.
Yeah, because when you say that, you know, you cut the root system and it'll survive just on moisture in the air. I mean, you sure can't eliminate moisture in the air. So it's you really have to eliminate it all and start throwing. So this boric, it's not boric acid, it's, what'd you call it, boric?
Well, it's a formulation of boric acid. It's called Timbor.
Timbor.
And
so if you were going to build a house today, would you truck in boric acid and just dig the soil and treat it with all this? Would you, if you had the time and money, why wouldn't you?
I'm going to build a house that has plenty of ventilation, a house that is up off the ground, a house that has no earth contacts, a home that has proper drainage. I'm going to do everything right, and I'm going to help eliminate the problems that we're talking about.
Dan Lenz from Lenz Pest Control. We have another segment with Dan. We'll take a break. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number is 564-1290. If you want to get a pest inspection, Lenz is in the White Pages, or his number, I believe, starts
962-9151.
962-9151. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.